Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast is brought to you by Homo Casino Resort, the player's place.
Well, at least we got each other, Benjamin. Fallen. Tier 1.
No, we don't have you anymore. I don't know what happened to your camera.
What?
So,
yeah. Oh, that's good. Well, I plugged this charger in. Is that a problem?
Apparently so.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, it's just right. Completely I'll just knocked you off of our YouTube stream.
Okay.
We're continuing on with apparently the slowest recap of all time. Chris Ella just texted. I'm dying over here waiting for my third inning and beyond recap.
And on to the third.
At this rate, pitchers and catchers will report about the time that we start talking about the ninth inning of this game as we continue on with our Padres wrap up from our last segment. And yeah, we got through just the first couple of innings. Padres are down 2-0. Jeremiah Estrada comes in, walks Dansby Swanson to force in a run.
That was awesome.
And then gets out of the jam, striking out Matt Shaw and getting the Matthew Bush double play grounder. And I tweeted at the time that's a win, even giving up two runs. And a lot of people were mad that I said that. Like, falling behind is not a win. You know, giving two
do
runs to the offense.
Do people not watch baseball? Do they not know how bad that could have been?
My point was, the Cubs had a chance to end it.
Right there.
Right there.
They gave you, you were dying and they were pumping oxygen into your mouth. Like clear! Boom!
That
clear!
Game was so close to being over in the second inning. Do you realize how over it would have been?
It was such a massive pitch.
I mean, a 2-0 deficit felt like a mountain for this offense. 5-0? I mean,
you're done. I'm turning it off. I'm turning it off. Who did people really write you and say?
Let's go to the movie theater.
Did people really write you and say that? They should be called out on the air. Baseball's not for you, bud.
That was a win,
stupid,
for the Padres, and a chance to really change the momentum, especially if they could have gone right
and
back
built
out and
on
scored.
It. God forbid.
Of course, they come back out.
What have we ever built
Fernando
on anything all
top
season?
Of the third, Fernando Tatis Jr. strikes out three more pitches. Two at-bats, six pitches, two strikeouts. Jameson Taillon is cruising. Gets to the fourth inning. Luis Arraez comes up. Makes okay contact. It's a line drive toward Dansby Swanson. Probably the only play that Dansby Swanson did not make cleanly the entire series. But, of course, because he's been so good, Luis Arraez assumes that he's going to catch it or has already made the catch. Peels off just momentarily, then realizes, oh, wait, Dansby did not pull that ball down. He just knocked it down, tries
to
sprint.
Are we going
to
hold Luis Arraez accountable for that? Because if that was other players, I know for a fact how the reaction would have been.
Of course. Yeah, dude.
It was unacceptable. That was Manny Machado...
Skewered.
Fernando Tatis Jr.
Skewered.
Absolutely.
It's unacceptable.
Yeah.
It's unacceptable. You just, there's no reason you shouldn't be going hard there. Yes, Dansby Swanson made every play. Yes, he got lucky that ball bounced right to him.
Friggin' sunglasses fell off his head.
It was a train wreck. Yeah. And somehow, because Arraez slowed down, cost himself a lead single that inning. Now,
I'm 50 years old. I would have hit it and gone. Yeah,
you could tell he felt bad about it, but it's too late. It's too
Ramon
late
Laureano
to feel bad
been
about
hustling.
It.
Jackson Merrill would have been hustling.
Yep.
So at that point, Craig Counsell, through four innings, is left with what I think is Sophie's choice. You've got the left-handed lane coming up. Your plan was for Jameson Taillon to get through hopefully four innings and get to the left-handed lane. It was just as they scripted it out. He got 12 outs and 14 batters, and they had the 6, 7, 8 lefties coming up for the Padres in the top of the fifth. But Taillon looked so good
Do you take him out and go to your bullpen, which is rested and ready to go and loaded with lefties, or do you leave in your starter who was dominant for the first four innings?
There is no way I'm pulling Jameson Taillon if I'm him. No way. He was filthy. Changeup, cutter, nasty, locating everywhere. I mean, he didn't miss. He was so good.
We talked about it the day before with Dylan Cease. And I don't think Dylan Cease made it as hard of a decision.
Right.
Gave up that double to Seiya Suzuki. They were able to take him out in the fourth where they kind of had always planned to. But Jameson Taillon did not make it easy on Craig Counsell. He pitched as well as he possibly could have pitched. But Craig Counsell stuck with his plan. Could have backfired, of course, in the top of the fifth. Gavin Sheets gets a single. Freddie Fermin gets a double. You've got the tying runs now in scoring position for Fernando Tatis Jr.
You are set up.
Who is facing Daniel Palencia. You know, very hard thrower. Does make contact this time. Goes the other way, but weakly flies out to right field to end the inning. Another threat for the Padres in this series. Another 0-for with runners in scoring position to end the top of the fifth.
You know, when you get to the holiday season, everybody starts making a wish list. If I had an off-season wish list, acquiring Daniel Palencia would be on that wish list. Yeah, he looked disgusting. Nasty.
He looks like he belongs in the Padres
bullpen.
He looks
like a Padres reliever.
If the minor league system was still stacked, AJ would find a way this offseason to somehow get Daniel Palencia. He looks like he belongs in the Padres bullpen. Michael King pitches his scoreless inning. Wandy Peralta does what Wandy Peralta does, looks a little shaky, gives up two hits, but gets a double play, gets out of his inning. So the Padres are still in this game. They are walking the tightrope. I tweeted a gif of a guy over Niagara Falls just shaking on a tightrope because that's what it felt like through this game. You get to the top of the sixth. Manny Machado draws a walk. Okay, that's
back
good.
In
that's a chance to get in business. Dansby Swanson turns an inning-ending double play on Jackson Merrill. Another opportunity thwarted. Get to the top of the seventh inning. Xander Bogaerts with a lead single, continuing what was a really solid series for Xander. He steps up. Jose Iglesias is the pinch hitter. Mike Schilt pulls that card again, and I think very savvily, and something that we didn't see Luis Arraez do this season. He sees Xander going and thinks he's got a good jump. Squares around, not to bunt, not to sacrifice bunt. A lot of people thought, oh, here we go again. We're bunting to try to get one run. He saw Xander and tried to protect him and distract Carson Kelly, the catcher behind the plate, by squaring
around.
Yeah. He had no intention of bunting.
Happens all
the
time.
He just wanted to give Xander maybe an extra millisecond. And if he bought that extra millisecond because the game it came down to a review, it was too close to call. And the call on the field of safe stood, and we had another runner in scoring position. Jose Iglesias, for the second time, put together a pretty good at-bat, hit a line drive. This time it's Nico Hoerner, who goes up the ladder, makes the snow cone-type catch to rob him of a potential RBI single there. Another opportunity thwarted by the Chicago Cubs, and now we're getting really late in the game. Robert Suarez had just pitched one inning. Maybe one of the strategic errors here, and I don't know what else he would have done. Had Adrian Morejon warming up, but Robert Suarez facing Michael Busch to lead off the bottom of the seventh inning. You had kind of dodged any trouble from Michael Busch, who was their home run leader, right, this season, 34 home runs.
He's really good.
Had a really good season. And Robert Suarez, every once in a while, can give up the home run.
And he did.
And he did on this situation.
I was sick when they panned to the bullpen, and there's Adrian Morejon, the dog of all dogs, getting ready. If not for Bush, then who? Tucker?
I understand being careful with Morejon's pitches because he had pitched in both games of the series, and you were probably hoping that just not a home run, like, hey, keep him in the ballpark, and if we need to, we'll bring Adrian Morejon to defuse the jam later in the inning, but there's no jam when he hits a home run.
No.
It was the one thing you couldn't really allow happen.
Didn't understand.
And he did allow it to happen there. So now it's 3-0. Going to the top of the eighth. Freddie Fermin, lead single. Another opportunity for the Padres. Once again, stranded as the Padres go 0-for-8 with runners in scoring position in this game. But Freddie Fermin had a really good series. Threw out two runners. Had a little help from the instant replay and a nice tag by Jake Cronenworth on that replay. But Freddie Fermin had a really good series. The bullpen continues to get through. How about David Morgan coming in in the bottom of the eighth inning and striking out two and pitching a really good inning in his playoff debut. Nice job by David Morgan. Nice season. Nice rookie season.
No doubt.
By David Morgan. That is something he can really build on. I expect him to be a major part of the Padres bullpen next year. We'll see if, you know, Brad Gley Rodriguez didn't get an opportunity to pitch in this series, but Padres have a lot of good pieces coming back in that bullpen next year. Should be a strength for the team.
Yes.
So, we get to the top of the ninth inning. Down 3-0. Hopes are pretty low.
Very, very low.
Hopes are pretty low. Brad Keller is on, has been their closer, closed out game one of the series. He is out there to try to finish things off for the Chicago Cubs and send them to the division series. Jackson Merrill comes up, and I actually texted before the game, and I was surprised because when I saw Luis Arraez hit that opposite field fly ball that carried all the way to the warning track, I was going, oh my. That wind that they talked about, and we talked about it yesterday, going from right field to left field, that's going to probably carry some fly balls out. I really thought it was going to be a high-scoring game. I was wrong. I was dead wrong about that.
Well, you have to hit the ball for it to be a high-scoring
I thought the Cubs were going to be a high-scoring game for them, too. I did not expect them to be held to three. I thought this was going to be like a 7-6, 9-8 type game at Wrigley Field. Didn't happen, but I texted my mom, and I said, I'm going to make one prediction for this game. Jackson Merrill is going to hit a home run in this game. Took longer than I thought. I kind of pictured it was going to be an opposite field into that jet stream kind of shot that we've seen Jackson Merrill, but he did finally come through in the ninth inning, pulling one into the basket at Wrigley Field in right to give the Padres just that first surge of life that they had been looking for all game. And Jackson Merrill, make no mistake about it, we saw it more last year because he was healthy. We missed it a little bit this year because he was injured so much. Jackson Merrill is the heartbeat of the San Diego Padres.
Yeah. Stop bunting forever. Forever.
And
never
will,
again.
And will be for years and years to come. The team will become more modeled after Jackson Merrill going forward. I'm not saying Fernando Tatis Jr. is going anywhere. Manny Machado is going anywhere. But as Jackson continues to grow into a veteran. Remember, he's still only 23 years old at this point.
Would have been cool to have him as one of your first three hitters when he was healthy,
but
most of the season.
But as he becomes more established, you know, as we go forward, year three, year four, I believe, just partly because of the personalities of Manny and Tatis, that Jackson Merrill will become the leader of the clubhouse over the next 5 to 7 years. Would you agree with that assessment?
The vocal leader, yeah.
Yeah, he will be the vocal.
Absolutely.
He will be the vocal leader. He will be the heartbeat. He will be the energy of the San Diego Padres.
Yep.
And that's a role that they need badly. It's hard to ask a kid that young to do it. He did so much of it last year as a rookie, more than you ever could have expected. And this year was tough for him, the sophomore, everything that goes with it, that second year, the adjustments you have to make, dealing with the concussion, the hamstring, the different injuries. I don't think he was ever able to fully integrate himself into season number two. Still ended up with pretty decent numbers in the end of the year, but I fully expect Jackson Merrill to continue to burgeon into a superstar going forward. Would you agree with that?
Yeah.
Then, of course, the rest of the inning plays out. And why don't we take a little time out?
Yeah.
Don't Do This is coming up next. There's only one Don't Do This.
The ninth.
His name is DJ Raber, and we will go through what happened in the ninth inning, and really the unacceptable mistake that the home plate umpire made when Xander Bogaerts was at the plate after Jackson Merrill. We will get to that coming up next on San Diego's number one sports station. Chris, you're going to have to wait a little bit longer for us to finish this recap on 97.3 The Fan.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. GEG 000466. For a full list of games and rules, played at 7 Mile Casino, visit 7milecasino.com.
First, I think we could all use a distraction this weekend. 7 Mile Casino is the place to get your mind off things and have some fun. Play some cards, California-style blackjack, Texas Hold'em, Baccarat, and Pai Gow Poker in San Diego's closest, best, and just all-around best atmosphere for a card room.
Well, and they have alcohol there. So you can if you wanted to have a few to numb the pain, you could. You can. It's a smoke-free environment, though, so you have to smoke outside. But they do have all the card games that you love, Texas Hold'em, Pai Gow, Baccarat, and California-style blackjack, my beloved.
Perfect atmosphere. The patio is gorgeous. Weekend's a great time to check it out. Brunch on the patio at 7 Mile, overlooking San Diego Bay. Saturdays and Sundays, 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. at Sammy's. Voted best in the South County. It's a great time to check it out if you haven't been there yet. And, of course, Woods, we always talk about the proximity.
Just 7 minutes from downtown. So the season's over, but the location remains the same. Again, 7 minutes from Petco Park. So get on down there, hang out, play some cards, have a great time. It's 7 Mile Casino, just 7 minutes from downtown.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Don't do this.
It's time for Don't Do This.
What were you thinking?
Three stories from the world of sports that make us all shake our heads.
Why?
How many times do I have to tell you?
I'm sorry, I fudged up, guys.
You idiot. Moron.
You dumbass.
The apple sometimes does far fall from the tree.
Don't do this.
Do not tweet that.
With Ben and Woods.
I like a Nickelback song or two.
On 97.3 The Fan.
Don't do this. Brought to you by Trust and Will.
Don't
leave your entire estate, house, kids, and life savings up to chance if and when you die.
Do.
Set up a Trust or Will online at trustandwill.com.
This
is a lot more affordable than you think. Visit trustandwill.com for more info. One don't do this today. His name is DJ Rayburn. He was the home plate umpire last night for the Padres Cubs, game 3 of their wild card series. And in this in no way takes the Padres off the hook
nope.
for their offensive failures, lack of coming through with runners in scoring position, or ultimately a disappointing end to the season. I think DJ Rayburn owes someone an apology, though. Not Xander Bogaerts. I think he owes Padres fans an apology because he robbed us. He robbed us of a moment that should have at least gotten the opportunity to see what would have happened in that ninth inning. After Jackson Merrill's home run, Xander Bogaerts worked a really good at-bat against Brad Keller to get to the count of 3-2. It was 3-1. Keller dotted one on the outside corner. Okay, 3-2 pitch. Really tough take, but a clear ball four. Not a borderline ball four. Not one that like, okay, you know, it's a tough job. Umpires do have a tough job. Mike Schultz says it all the time.
Ball's down, man.
That ball was clearly down.
It's down.
It was
and
you
brought
did,
up
you
the,
didn't
brought
need,
up 6 inches.
You didn't
man.
Need the box.
Ball's down.
If I was watching this game 15 years ago and there's no box, I'm also saying that's clearly a ball.
Ball's down.
I don't need the technology to tell me that. It's a ball. DJ Rayburn, who I thought had a really good game behind home plate up until that point, needs to know that that's a ball. And why he called it a strike.
Ball's down. It's down. Paul just showed it again. It's down.
It's
it was down yesterday.
Well down.
It's down today.
It's clearly
it's
a
down.
Ball. Now, at the time, you're going, well, who knows? I mean, it brings the tying run to the plate. Padres have a runner at first base. You know, it can change the entire inning. But this is how it would have played out. If everything happened the same, the next two batters get hit by pitch, Ryan O'Hearn and Bryce Johnson.
Yep.
So then you'd have the bases.
What a break.
You'd have the bases loaded with nobody out.
What a break.
That's a ball. Jake Cronenworth then hits that little nubber. Shaw makes a really good play. If he does the exact same thing, there's no other play at any other base other than getting Jake at first. I thought Jake was safe on that play.
Yeah.
In real time, he was out. On replay, it was very clear he was out. But you advance the runners to second and third. One run scores. It's now 3-2.
Look at that
and
then, still shot. Volley
and,
just
fell. Yeah, I know. It's a ball. And then Freddie Fermin comes up with one out and runners at second and third. Hits that fly ball that, instead of ending the game, is a sacrifice fly that ties the score at 3. And then with two outs, Fernando Tatis Jr. comes up to the plate. The entire game, the entire ninth inning, the entire series is different because of that call. And I don't know that the Padres would have won. I can never say that. You can't say that. The Padres can't ever say that. But as a fan, I really would have liked the opportunity to see what would have happened had they made a obvious, obvious call correct in the ninth inning on that ball 4.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you know, obviously it's a very high tension situation. I don't know. I think we'd be remiss if we didn't talk about what happened after.
Oh, boy.
That is also part of this story. I see in the chat, Tatis would have struck out again. He was having a bad game. He very well might have.
Very well might have.
He might have had a moment of redemption like none you've ever seen.
I'd like to give him another shot.
Yeah, I would have loved
to give him another shot.
Either way, the game is tied. Padres may not have had enough pitching at that point to get through. I mean, who were they going to the rest of the game at that point? Is Mason Miller coming in now in a 3-3 game in the bottom of the ninth? All I know is that I was robbed of getting to see that by DJ Raymer.
Yep. And after the game, this was wild. Somebody sent this to me, and I honestly couldn't believe it. There's a video going around of after the game, the umpires are walking through. They're walking through the Padres dugout, essentially, down the steps into the clubhouse, which is crazy.
Yeah.
Which is crazy.
Can we just go out that side and
Xander,
walk around?
Xander's got his back to the field. Schilty's in front of him, and then out from the right, you see Jose Iglesias kind of start to walk. He's got his hoodie on, and he says something to the umpire, and he actually gives it the old one of these, the like the head to the side, like, come on, bro.
Man.
Like,
come on, man.
The umpire, I actually think he's the one that escalated it. Our boys were in the wrong after, but I think he escalated. He turned, and you could hear light up, or you could see him.
He's giving him an earful.
You could see him light up Iglesias after that. And then once he got it back from the umpire, that's when he went through the roof, and that's when Xander got really pissed. I do wonder, I mean, you know Major League Baseball is going to take a look at this. They protect their umpires like they're infallible. I mean they really
Chuck
are.
Chuck got in there.
Yeah.
Xander standing above Iglesias,
yep,
giving it to these umpires.
And the umpire has got his neck and his face out. He stuck his whole neck out. He did say it with his whole chest. And he had something to say. And it was nasty, dude. Xander was pissed. Iglesias is leaning in. And they usher this guy down into the clubhouse, and I do feel like there's going to be some discipline handed down. I do, probably at least a fine, I would imagine. I don't know if they're going to suspend anybody, but
they're not going to like umpires getting harassed on the way out by players,
yep,
for sure. But you're right, the umpire escalated, not de-escalated, as they should,
as they tend to do, by the way. How many times have we talked about the ump show?
Commendatory in the chat really wants us to say out loud how bad Jake Cronenworth sucked in this series. Jake Cronenworth sucked in this series. Jake Cronenworth would be the first guy to tell you he sucked in this series. He thinks that we're protecting Jake Cronenworth because he wasn't listening earlier in the program. Jake Cronenworth was terrible in this series. An ofer. How do you defend an ofer in the playoffs? You don't. He also
didn't have a lot of good matchups, but
he also hits eighth.
Yeah.
He also hits eighth. I'm not putting it all on Jake Cronenworth, buddy.
Yeah, let's back on the DJ Raeburn, though, just to wrap things up. The irony or tragedy of it all is that the Padres will never play another game without an automated ball strike system now. And they will not. That was the last game they will ever play without the ability to challenge that.
We went out on top, didn't we?
It ends. The era of umpires being able to influence games with bad ball strike calls like that, with horrible calls that can't be overturned, is now over for the San Diego Padres.
Yeah.
And it ends with arguably the most impactful missed home plate call in franchise history.
Yeah.
I guess, you know, Matt Holliday not touching home plate was an impactful call at home plate as well. But ball strike call, I don't know that there's ever been a more impactful missed ball strike call
in
Padres franchise history.
The video's nuts.
Than that one.
The video's Langston was pretty big.
That was a pretty big one,
pretty
too.
Big.
You're right.
If that was it, if you If you tapped it, that's...
Oh, I think that's a ball. I think that's 1998 ABS.
Padres really good post on some of these.
You get the strike call, and Tino's out, and the inning's over, and the Padres go on to take game one.
Yep.
I don't know if they win that series.
I don't know either, but...
The Yankees were really good in 1998.
This is... it's interesting that when you put it that way. But yeah, look, most of the people defending the umpire that it was a good call were Dodger fans yesterday, so,
I want to make...
Unbiased.
Who's trying to argue that it was a good call?
Dodger fans.
That was clearly a bad call.
It was down.
I want to make one more point, though, because they're going into the ABS system next year, and you get two challenges, which if you get them right, you keep them, but if you get them wrong, you lose
them.
You would hate to think that a game, like a playoff game in the ninth inning,
you lost the challenge, would
come down to, and you're out of challenges, and you can't overturn that at that point. I would really like to say every team gets one more challenge once you get to the ninth inning.
Yeah.
You get two in the game. Once you use them, you're gone. But anytime you get to the ninth inning, you get one more challenge at the end of the game. Because I don't think any team should have a game or potentially a season, a playoff berth, a playoff series decided because of those challenges.
The manager should have one last ace in the hole, so to speak.
Because that's not going to be a good look. It's not going to be a good look if a game is decided in the future because a team was out of challenges and your umpire made a horrifically bad call.
Yeah, Michael's right here. He says both parties wrong. Umps were terrible. You can't jump them after the game with the amount of effort you showed all series. Yeah, I mean, honestly, the fact that it came down to that is really the problem. You said fans deserve that ninth inning. I think the fans deserved a sack fly from Gavin Sheets in the first game. I think fans deserve the Padres to be able to execute, and stop giving outs away. Things like that. That's what we deserved as fans, and we didn't get it, and it happens, and that's baseball. But to have it come down to that yesterday was so... It was poetic. It was poetic. And...
But like the Edgar Allan Poe really...
Yeah, dark poem.
Dark poetry.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Dark poetry is still, I mean, it felt like a Smith song playing out in real time.
So it wasn't Robert Frost.
No, it's more like Robert Smith from The Cure. But I'm telling you, man, it was pretty rough. It was pretty rough way to end. But again, very poetic. And don't, again, like I tweeted, don't let it distract you from the ineptitude
of
the Padres.
Separate issues, but
a real thing.
And it's one big, fat, don't do this for a Friday.
That was Don't Do This with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
What does Darren Smith think about the ninth inning and the series as a whole? We will talk to our friend from SDFC. They've also got a big game tomorrow on the road when we come back on a Friday with Ben and Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. All right, well, we can drown our sorrows in some Prize Picks Daily Fantasy this weekend with a... Well, let's just turn our attention to football. College football, pro football on Sunday. You've got your opportunity to turn your sports watching, sports knowledge into real cash. It is good to be right at Prize Picks. It's daily fantasy where you're picking against the numbers more or less on stat projections. Watch your favorite team, favorite college teams, favorite pro teams over the weekend, favorite players like Josh Allen. You're picking more or less than 270 passing yards. That's one square in your lineup. You can actually put other Josh Allen squares in. Prize Picks is the only app that offers stacks where you can pick the same player up to three times in the lineup on different stats like rushing yards or touchdowns for Josh Allen as well. When you download the app, make sure you use the code KWFN. You're going to get $50 instantly when you play your first $5 lineup, so that's a lot of play to get you started as you're setting your lineups. $50 instantly when you play your first $5 lineup with code KWFN. Get it started this weekend. Daily fantasy for everybody. Millions of users, billions of dollars in awarded winnings at Prize Picks, where it's good to be right. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for details.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brett Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I didn't hear the audio after the game, but Xander's quote reaction to the missed ball call, ball strike call by DJ Rayburn. Quote, it's a ball. Messed up the whole game, you know. I mean, can't go back in time and talking about it now won't change anything. So it was bad, and thank God for ABS next year because this is terrible, is what Xander Bogaerts had to say about it.
So it's a rough end.
After the game. Yeah, no, again. Two separate issues, and we're just bringing them both up. We're not ignoring the offense, but it was pretty ugly. We'll get Darren Smith's thoughts on all of it right after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. Nerves are a little frayed in Padres fan land this morning. Darren, you've been a perspective on the Padres for a long time in this town. Appreciate you joining us as you do every Friday. Good morning to you.
Good morning. You guys provide a very valuable service on days like today, so... let me be amongst the thousands of people to say thank you for doing what you're doing.
Thank you, Darren Smith. I appreciate that. It means a lot to us. That was a rough series. I mean, that was a rough series. Obviously, we got super excited about the one win because you live to fight another day, which is, you know, you really admired the grit and the toughness they showed in that game. But yesterday, man, just Jameson Taillon coming out in the first inning, I went, oh, he's got his real good stuff today. this does not bode well for our hitters. And I thought really the tone was set, man. Three pitches, we're kind of out of the zone. Toddy's just up there waving. And it's, I go, oh, this could get bad quick.
Yeah. I mean, you hate to say stuff like this after the fact because, like, you know, what does it matter?
Right.
But like the first swing of the game.
Yes.
Whoa, wait a second. What was
what
that all about?
What are we doing?
We've been praising Fernando for, you know, how keen his eye has been and how he's changed his game and he's figured out ways to add value, even if it's not 40 plus bombs. You're like, whoa, that was a weird swing. And then it's like three of those. And then he's sitting in the dugout again. And it just, you know, just continued along that way. You know, I mean, I think the thing that always gets me and, you know, you guys swim in the deeper side of the pool now than I do. But, you know, it still gets me all these years, 20 plus in the game and, you know, in media and like the suddenness with which these things end.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like it just is like you're never quite, I don't know, maybe some people are like, yeah, good. I'm glad. I never really liked this team anyway.
There's plenty it's of those, just, yeah.
Yeah, even though it felt like it was, you know, and there was so much drama in the game, and you guys were just talking about the umpiring in the ninth inning and such, right? Which is what we should be talking about. But man, like you just wake up today, it's like, wow, there's no more games. Like you've been doing this every day since February, and there's just no more games here. And you know, that's the part I think that I've never gotten used to that. I swear, all these years later doing local radio, I've never gotten used to how suddenly these seasons end, and today is no exception on that one.
It's weird how the game continues, though. Like, there will be playoff baseball this weekend.
Oh, I'll be locked in. Believe you me, my friend.
That used to be fun.
I think I ordered.
Yeah, I mean, just like now my whole weekend is hate watching all these other teams.
It's, which is great. I mean, let's be honest. It's hate watching is elite. I just remembered that I ordered a semi-Phillies looking shirt on Ambien last night. That'll be arriving, I believe, on Sunday. Just so you know, it just popped into my head. I go, oh, yeah, those are Phillies colors.
Darren,
I love that.
Darren, hindsight is clearly 2020. Padres went all in at the trade deadline again, and it bought them one three-game series.
Yep.
And you always feel like, oh, wow, I wish you'd go back and undo all that they did because they didn't get anything out of it. But would you go back and undo anything that A.J. Preller did at this point? Had Ramon Laureano been healthy, you know, my contention is they win that series.
Yes.
He would have been the most important player that the Padres could have had against the Cubs. And, you know, through no fault of their own, he broke his hand and he wasn't available. Would you have undone anything that he did here?
I don't think so. You know, especially just hours after the final game. Did you guys see this video, by the way, of AJ walking around the field?
Yes, on his phone.
Wrigley. hours after the game ended. Like, who is he talking to there? What's going on?
Hank Steinbrenner.
I don't think so. Yeah, I mean, I kind of, you know, like
Steve Cohen.
Like,
yeah, Steve Cohen. Wow. Okay. Yeah, he's probably getting an update. What's going on with Yankees Red Sox?
Yeah.
Is there a chance Cashman's out?
Yes, Hank. It's me, AJ Preller, live from Wrigley.
Yeah, just getting a score update there. What's going on at the stadium?
I mean, he could have been talking to his mom. We have no idea.
Could have been. Could have been. You know, it could have been booking a flight. Nobody knows.
Right.
But I don't know. I mean, I was thinking about when Mason Miller comes in game two, I'm like, I will never care what Leo DeVries does.
Same.
You know, like, God, I was like, I don't give a crap. Well, I don't care at all about Leo DeVries. Never want to hear about him again. And yeah, today I think it's fair where you start thinking through some of that stuff. And you know, did you have to trade this guy? You know, could you have been in a better position with one less? But I think the moves were complementary to one another, right? You know, I do think that. And I think sometimes, you know, the circumstances just are what they are. I mean, if you really thought maybe Michael King was going to come back and be able to provide you more than one inning in a postseason series, then maybe, you know, some of the thought process for the other decisions, you know, get factored in, right? In terms of needing another starting pitcher at some point. So it's really hard to say. I don't like, you know, the whole hindsight thing. I appreciate the strategy of thinking that this team was worth investing in and that this season was worth investing in and that it was good enough to get you to a point, but it needed help to get to the next level, and it just didn't happen.
Yeah, it didn't, and I do wonder, you know, everybody wants heads to roll, right? Everybody wants heads to roll after the season ends. It's an emotional reaction. I got plenty of text messages yesterday. Get rid of Toddy, get rid of Manny, get rid of this guy, get rid of that guy. All right, replace him with who? Who is there to replace him with? You got to think logically. Now, when it comes to, you know, it's been my contention for a while now, Darren, that I don't know that the offensive philosophy of get them on, move them over, give away outs, let's get our guys pats on the butts for giving away outs is the right thing to do. That's the kind of a hill that I will die on. But I don't know how you game Petco Park. I really don't. Other than the fact that you get right-handed sluggers that can pull the ball down the line to hit home runs, I really don't know how you game it. You know, we asked Buddy Black the other day, how did you game playing your games in Rockies Field or in Coors Field? And he goes, it's almost impossible, you know? So what is the right strategy moving forward? And if some heads are going to roll, who do you think it would be?
Well, I mean, so I got dragged on Twitter earlier this week for, you know, even saying, I think that there's a non-zero chance that there's going to be a change with the GM and the president of baseball operations. I'm not reporting anything. I mean, I'm not a journalist. There have been times in my past where I've said, you know, I think things are going to change because I knew they were going to change. Like, I knew Bruce Bochy was leaving in 2006. You know, I knew Kevin Towers was getting fired in 2009. I don't know this. I just know that there's reason to think that this might be some sort of internal discussion. And, you know, I think when you think about the strategy, right, back to the previous question, when you think about what the strategy was to push all in, you know, that was not just to guarantee you three games. Also, by the way, in Chicago,
right?
You know, when you have 72 home sellouts, and we understand the way the business of Padre baseball operates for the most part, you know, we're not privy to the numbers, but when we understand how the business of baseball works here in San Diego, a lot of that is dependent on your creating a team that's going to give you home playoff games, which the team had what, four or five times last year. And isn't going to have this year. And I do think that that's you know, going to be something that will probably be discussed about not even playing a home playoff game. As far as it goes with Petco, I mean, they've had success there. I mean, they have had success there. I don't, you know, it still plays pretty dramatically, right, in favor of pitching. So, you know, from that standpoint, they do have the right guys. I think what you need are the right people, though. I think you need the right people that are going to deal with the fact that maybe their numbers are going to be a little bit impacted by the way the ballpark conditions are set up. So, you know, that's probably more mental than it is something physical. But, they've proven that they can have success in that ballpark. I don't think it's prohibitive. But, you know, I'm with you on the offensive philosophy. You know, I think one of the questions people and I've asked myself is, you know, do they not hit home runs because they have this philosophy, or do they have this other philosophy because they don't hit home
runs? It's chicken and egg, man. I asked AJ the same thing. Is your offense bad because you bunt, or do you bunt because your offense is bad? Nobody knows. Nobody knows. I mean, it's the chicken or the egg, and
I know we just don't like it.
Yeah, we just don't like it.
That's the thing. Like, I don't like that, and I also don't think it fits the personality of these players.
Dude, exactly. Yeah. That's exactly right. Like, Jackson Merrill slugged in this series.
Machado being the face of a small ball team.
100%.
I just don't. I don't. Tatis. You know, and you can justify it however you want to justify it. I'm just saying it doesn't fit to me that this team isn't that far removed from the team that was rocking the swag chain and wearing T-shirts that said Slam Diego.
Yes!
And I just
now
don't
we're
think
Sac
that
Diego.
That's the nonsense, Sac. You know, like, it was Sac Diego. Like, Sac. Like, these guys had huge, you know, so that's not what this team is. And you know, listen, I'm not saying that it hasn't bore fruit. Yes. But I just don't think that that's what this group is. And you know, you wonder why Toddy sometimes is so mopey after some of these games. I don't know. Maybe, you know, it's just that the person, it's just not doesn't feel like the right, it's not the right clothing for these guys.
It's not.
You know, be like watching these dudes go to the bus and you know, wear a bunch of nerd outfits.
It's the Brewers. Like, why do you want to turn yourself into the Brewers when you don't have to be the Brewers? You're not the Brewers. Yeah. Yeah, you're the Padres. Yeah. You're right. The swag chain, like that's when you were an opposing pitcher and you're like, oh my God, I've got to navigate these guys. Now you're like, oh good. What's he gonna do? What's he gonna do? Single? And then what's he gonna do? Their cleanup hitter's gonna get him over. Thanks for the out, right?
We talked about
Tatis is on the cover of a video game. You know, he's not laying a bunt down. I mean, you know, like bat flipping. That's what, like, the Padres had this aura to them.
Yep.
And, you know, again, like, you know, maybe you don't win with aura either. But, you know, at least it feels like it was more of a natural fit than whatever this is.
100%.
Talking to Darren Smith, and I do want to save a minute or two for SDFC. Big game tomorrow. Playoffs are coming up. Hey, we get another chance at playoff disappointment in San Diego.
Great.
Maybe they'll be the antidote to all of it. But I have to ask you. You mentioned your comments on the 1904 podcast about A.J. Preller's future. And he has 1 year left on his contract. It's fair to speculate on anybody who hasn't been extended at this point. But if he's gone, what direction can the Padres even take? I mean, is it a full tear down and rebuild for a new GM? I mean, who's going to – I don't know that even ownership can stomach that right now. Do you want to go back to square one and trade away stars? Can you even do that? Is another GM – can they come in and do anything if they replaced A.J. Preller? Or is this franchise kind of locked on course like a giant, huge ship? Can't really turn. Its direction is set for a few years.
Yeah, I always said if I ever decided, if I were in charge and I decided that I was going to make a change and I was going to move on from Preller, I would do it 1 year in advance because I would want to give him time to restock some of my system, right? Like that line at the trade line. How do the Padres always have the number three prospect in baseball?
Right.
So I would want him to do things to leave me in a better position than just doing something today where, you know, it's been pointed out already here in other places. You know what the Padres have done even to get to this point, to go to the playoffs, and unfortunately to lose. So I would probably plan that out a little better. But you know, listen, this is a crazy organization. You know, at times, you know, we've seen crazy things happen here. I mentioned Bochy. I mentioned you know what it was that happened a couple of years ago between the manager and the general manager. So. You know, I do think that there's been, you know, there are some special assistants to the CEO around here who probably have some opinions about things that could happen if, in fact, you decide that you want to make a change, or maybe it's just a mutual thing. You know, I mean, the thing I said that got lost in the AI generated clip that got floated out there was, you know, when I got hired across the street from you guys, the people that hired me were totally different than the people who were there when I ended.
Yep.
And you know, sometimes your ambitions change and the goals change a little bit. And I'm not saying they're bad people. I'm just saying it's a different work environment. And you know, when you look around, if you're A.J. Preller, I'm sure he loves being in San Diego. I think there is a real connection with the fans. But Peter Seiler isn't there anymore. Ron Fowler isn't there anymore. And the people that brought him in aren't there anymore. And do you look around and do you see an environment where you feel like you are supported by everybody in this organization, not just in baseball, but also on the business side? And if you don't, you know, what do you think that means for you in your future? And so, I mean, that's just me thinking out loud. Again, some of this stuff I think you guys are well aware of. I think others around town are. I'm not saying it's going to happen. I'm just saying it could. But to answer your question, Ben, I don't know. I would imagine if you're going to make a decision like this, you probably have given it a little thought, and it's not going to be an emotional one or a punitive one just because you didn't advance beyond the wild card round.
Darren, Paulie's giving you a little bit of time here at the end. I was distracted by the Padres this week, so get us caught up on where SDFC now stands going into tomorrow's game in Houston, the conference standings and everything else. I honestly haven't looked the last couple of days, and you understand why.
Oh, of course. Absolutely. And thank you, Paul. I appreciate that you're wearing the SDFC cap today, too.
I got you.
I'll make it real quick. SDFC still on top of the Western Conference standings. Other teams have more games in hand, so we are not in control of finishing on top of the West. Still riding a 7-match unbeaten streak away from Snapdragon Stadium. Houston is not a good home team. As a matter of fact, they've lost as many home games as anybody in the Western Conference. SDFC is as good as anybody away from home, more wins than anybody else. So I would think this is a get-right game, but Houston is trying to fight their way back into the playoff picture. So still hoping for a little bit of good news on the health front. Hopefully Marcus Ingvardsson can come back by the end of the regular season. But 32 down, 2 to go, playoffs guaranteed, starting third week of October. So there's your SDFC 45 seconds.
Very nice. I wanted to give you more time. In fact, I want to ask you one more question because I didn't see you last Friday at the Right to Dream, but there were so many
people
there. You did see me? I was looking. I mean, there were a lot of people there. I was shocked, but I was also incredibly impressed at what they have put together in such a short amount of time. An academy, a school, a first team now going to have a youth program as well. The staff that they have on hand. I met the owner for the first time, Sir Mohammed Mansour, and, you know, his vision for what it is. And we haven't really had the proper time because we've been so into the Padres season the last few months. But guy's a billionaire and seems like he's got his good head on his shoulders and his heart in the right place. I was just really impressed by everything I saw last week.
Yeah, so I used your questions to Mohammed Mansour on our pregame show. Yeah, I mean, it was pretty. I wanted to see it myself because you hear about academies and people think, all right, right, what is it, like a reserve team? But they are growing this from the ground up. These are a bunch of 11-year-olds. And it was so cool to see those guys get introduced like they're Major League Soccer players, like they're professionals. And then to learn a little bit about the schooling out there. I mean, it's just a much bigger operation than we probably have time for, definitely, or even than people probably want to hear about on this Friday. But I will say, I echo your statements. I'm around it a lot, and I was really, really impressed by the production that went into that. It is the first of its kind in the U.S., and it stands to really change the game in the sport in the United States.
Darren, really appreciate it. Next Friday, we'll be gearing up for, I think, the regular season finale for SDFC, and then the playoffs right around the corner, so we'll have lots to talk about the last couple of months of the year. Thank you so much.
I appreciate you guys, and thank you always for having me on. I know the days like today and certain weekend series, you guys probably want to prioritize the baseball, but thank you for letting me do this.
Thanks, brother.
No problem. Darren Smith, always appreciate his insight and some interesting comments about AJ Preller. I think we need to follow up on that as well. I know it's Friday, but is it also Black Monday for the San Diego Padres? Will there be changes in the organization going forward? When we're here on Monday morning,
what do we know
over the weekend?
Who's the manager? The president of baseball?
There could be no changes. There could be big changes. We don't know. We'll talk about it coming up in the second half of Ben and Woods next year on 97.3 The Fan. Don't go away.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.